My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist, and in this episode, I'll go over my DNA results from Ancestry.com. Before I start, I'd like to say that this video is not done as an endorsement or as a suggestion that you should have your DNA sequenced if you have any concerns or reservations regarding privacy, which is certainly understandable. My choice to do this was not based on my own curiosity, but because I felt that my experience could be beneficial in an educational context, especially since I have so many requests from my subscribers. So I thought it would be fair that I share information regarding my own background, since my perspective reaches a wide audience, and many would like to know more about the person behind these videos. I chose Ancestry.com because they had the largest database and seemed to present the data in the most coherent manner. The process was fairly simple. After placing an order, I was sent a package that asked for a DNA sample. No, not that kind of sample. They only wanted a saliva sample, which you provide by spitting into a small vial after not eating or drinking for 30 minutes. You then insert some blue liquid, which is supposed to stabilize the DNA, place it in a prepaid package, which already has all of the necessary shipping information filled out. And in my case, I gave a fake name, so that didn't seem to be a problem. But keep in mind that these companies do share their genetic database with law enforcement. So if this is a problem, or you don't want your DNA shared with a third party, please make sure to read the fine print when making a submission. That's about it. Once you've sealed up your package, you're ready to ship it off, and then you just wait for your results to be processed. This process was supposed to take 6 to 8 weeks, but I received my results back in about 3 weeks, which I will go over now. According to the results, my ancestry is comprised of 4 demographics, which I will take up one by one, starting with the lowest percentage and working my way up. Coming in at just 1% is Northern Italy. So I will read what the results say and interject when I can. From the Alps down to Tuscany, the population of the northern Italian region lives among the mountains, lakes, and vineyards that are some of the country's most recognized features. Ancient Etruscans preceded the Roman Empire, which was followed by a patchwork of governments and city-states before modern-day Italy was unified in the late 19th century. Today, northern Italy is known for its wealthy urban centers and as the historical birthplace of the European Renaissance. The region's art, architecture, science, and scholarship have been celebrated around the world. It's a pretty generic description and doesn't say much, but if I had to guess, I would say my small amount of ancestry from this region likely came down from Northern Europe and probably around the time of the Lombard invasion. Lombard basically means long beards, and they were a Germanic tribe that established a kingdom in Northern Italy from 568 to 774, but during the first century they formed the Suebi in northwest Germany. I've covered this topic in prior videos, and since I only have 1%, I'll move on to the next population, which is Eastern Europe and Russia at 2%. This region is defined as Austria, Belarus, Czechia, Hungary, Moldova, Poland, Russia, Slovakia, Slovenia, Ukraine, but also found in Bosnia and Herzegovina, Bulgaria, Croatia, Estonia, Germany, Lithuania, Romania, and Serbia. According to Ancestry.com, quote, "Our Eastern Europe and Russia region stretches from the Baltic Sea in the north to the Adriatic in the south. The landscape is a mix of mountains, rivers, and plains, and stands at the crossroads of Europe and Central Asia. By the 5th century AD, Slavic peoples were moving west into modern-day Central Europe, followed by Magyars, who settled Hungary. The Slavic people are now the largest linguistic and ethnic group in Europe, and the region's legacy of beauty and civilization lives on in famed world cities such as Prague, Kyiv, Moscow, and Budapest. Before the Roman Empire's conquest between 35 BC and 400 AD, modern-day Eastern Europe was largely populated by Slavic and Baltic tribes in the north and Celtic, Thracian, and Illyrian tribes in the south. The Roman Empire conquered the Thracians in 46 AD, but the Balts in the north managed to avoid Rome's rule. Roman control of the area was relatively weak, partly because the population was largely rural. After the Western Roman Empire collapsed, the southern part of the region, including Bulgaria and Romania, remained part of the Byzantine Empire. Much of the rest of the region was invaded by Huns, Alans, who are Aryans, and other nomadic tribes from the Pontic steppe. Slavic tribes, possibly displaced by the invasions, spread south towards the Balkans. In the area that now includes Belarus, Ukraine, and Western Russia, a confederation of Slavic tribes known as the Rus' established a kingdom with its capital at Kyiv. According to legend, though some scholars disagree, the Rus' were ruled by a small group of Scandinavian warriors called the Varangians. Scandinavian or not, the Rus' were entirely Slavicized by the 10th century. Russia and Belarus are named after this kingdom and claim the Rus as their cultural ancestors. The Rus borrowed from the Byzantine culture, including Orthodox Christianity, which influenced Slavic culture. Led by two grandsons of Genghis Khan, the Mongol raids and invasions of Eastern Europe were violent and fearsome. Medieval European tactics were ill-suited to fight the mounted archers of the invading hordes. The kingdoms of the Rus fell to the Mongols, who swept quickly across the steppe and into the Carpathian Mountains. Hungary was the main target of the Mongol campaign in Eastern Europe and was poorly prepared to defend itself after centuries of relative peace. Nearly half of the population was killed. The Mongol Empire expanded to include Ukraine, Russia, Poland, Hungary, and Bulgaria. In the late 1300s, Ottoman Turks vanquished the remains of the Byzantine Empire. They expanded into Eastern Europe, eventually conquering Bulgaria and the Serbian Empire of the South Balkans. However, the Turks met fierce resistance in Wallachia and Hungary. Vlad III, also known as Vlad the Impaler, was one of Ottoman's greatest foes and played an important part in preserving the culture of Romania. Meanwhile, the Magyars of Hungary were better prepared to resist the Ottomans, having built heavy fortifications against a feared second Mongol invasion. Around 1500, the Eastern Europe region had evolved into four stable primary groups. In the south, the Balkan region remained under Ottoman rule for the next 300 years. Hungary aligned with Austria, creating the formidable Austro-Hungarian Empire, which endured until World War I. The Austro-Hungarian Empire became the largest state in Europe, excluding the Russian Empire. In the Baltic region, Lithuania and Poland joined together forming a Commonwealth government that lasted until the late 1700s. Meanwhile, the Grand Duchy of Moscow had become a dominant power in the East. They had thrown off Mongol rule and laid the groundwork for what became the Russian Empire in 1721. The Russian Empire would grow to be the third largest empire in history, reaching all the way across northern Asia to the Pacific, and millions of Russians migrated eastward as the empire expanded. In the decades following World War II, much of this region fell under the Eastern Bloc, which was politically aligned with the former Soviet Union. Belarus, Russia, and Ukraine were absorbed into the USSR, while Poland, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, and East Germany were members of the Warsaw Pact, a military defense alliance among eight communist states. Coming in at 47% is Germanic Europe, and this I clearly inherited from my mother, who was born in Germany after World War II, to parents who had been issued documentation through the Nationalist Socialist government, going back several generations, establishing Germanic or Aryan ancestry, a requisite for my grandfather's high-ranking position in the German military as an officer in the SS. So I was pretty confident that the German side would not contain any Ashkenazi Jewish DNA, which is a demographic of German Jews that speak Yiddish, which is essentially a branch of High German, linguistically, with some Hebrew mixed in, but a genetically distinct population of which my genome apparently contains 0%. That said, Ancestry.com goes on to explain that the German people were united by language and culture before Germany became a united country in 1871, known as Das Land der Dichter und Denker, or the Land of Poets and Thinkers. Germany is home to some of the oldest universities in the world, and this region has a long tradition of producing world-class scientists, inventors, theologians, artists, and composers. Though evidence shows that humans have lived among the rivers and fertile plains in this area since Neanderthal times, the ancestors of this region's modern-day inhabitants probably began arriving about the 5th century BC. They likely came from Sweden, Denmark, and Germany's northern coast and moved south, east, and west, displacing the Celts as they went. It's unclear what led them to migrate, but it may have been a hunt for warmer weather and fertile farmland. They built wooden houses, farmed, had no written language, and didn't use money. We have Julius Caesar to thank for some of the earliest written accounts of the Germanic tribes. Caesar's legions encountered them during his wars to conquer Gaul. The Romans named the lands they inhabited east of the Rhine River and north of the Danube Germania, and saw the Germanic tribes as more savage and a greater threat to Rome than the Celtic Gauls. While there was plenty of fighting along the border, there was plenty of trade as well. The Romans introduced pottery, money, and eventually written language to the Germani, who in turn sometimes fought with Rome against common enemies or served in Rome's legions. For the most part, by 400 AD, Western Europe was split between the Roman Empire and the restless Germanic tribes to the northeast. About this time, the Völker Wanderung, migration of peoples, began throughout Europe. The Huns swept across Eastern Europe, followed by the Avars, Slavs, Bulgars, and Alans. Germanic-speaking tribes included Visigoths, Ostrogoths, Vandals, Lombards, and Franks, which are all Aryans, by the way, began pressing west into the Roman provinces, and in 410, the Visigoths attacked and sacked Rome. The Franks became the new rulers in Gaul, while the Lombards settled in northern Italy, which I discussed earlier. Angles, Saxons, and Jutes crossed over the British Isles, while Slavic people settled in lands to the east that the Germani left behind. The Franks conquered northern Gaul in 486 AD. Over the next four centuries, a string of Frankish kings, including Clovis, Clothar, Pepin, and Charlemagne expanded their holdings in Western Europe, and Christianity followed in their wake. In 843, the Treaty of Verdun divided Charlemagne's empire among three of his grandsons. Charles the Bald got the western portion, which later became France. The central portion, called Middle Francia, went to Lothair. It stretched from the North Sea to northern Italy, including parts of eastern France, western Germany, and the Netherlands. Louis the German received the eastern portion, which eventually became the medieval kingdom of Germany, the largest piece of the Holy Roman Empire. Though it fell under the umbrella of the Holy Roman Empire, much of the region was divided into small kingdoms and states ruled by local dukes, princes, and counts. One of these, Rudolf of Habsburg, became king of Germany and put Austria under the rule of his sons. The Habsburg dynasty eventually ruled over the Holy Roman Empire for 3 centuries. Though the Black Death killed a third or more of the region's population in the mid-14th century, the population of Germany still doubled from about 8 million in 1200 AD to about 16 million in 1500. Knights of the Teutonic Order settled lands to the east, including territory that became Eastern Prussia, and German peasant farmers were welcomed through Eastern Europe and into Russia. Germany's intellectual tradition sank deep roots into the 14th and 15th centuries as universities were founded in Prague, Vienna, Erfurt, Heidelberg, Cologne, and Leipzig. Martin Luther's call for church reform divided German-speaking states along religious lines as the Protestant Reformation took hold. Gutenberg's printing press helped spread Luther's opinion and writings and fueled the Reformation. On the other hand, Luther's translation of the Bible also became the basis for a common written German language. German lands were no longer united by one faith, and political, religious, and social tensions led to violence, including the Peasants' War from 1524 to 1525, which ended with about 100,000 casualties. The 1555 Peace of Augsburg attempted to eliminate religious conflicts by allowing each state's ruler to decide its religion, Lutheranism or Roman Catholicism. Religion helped turn a regional rebellion into the Thirty Years' War from 1618 to 1648. The conflict drew in much of Europe and ravaged Germany, leaving up to a third of its population dead from war, sickness, or starvation. Meanwhile, the Dutch were becoming a world power. The Dutch East India Company made a fortune through trade with the Far East, and political and religious refugees found a place in the Netherlands' tolerant society. It wasn't until 1871 that the German states, except Austria, joined to form the German Empire. By then, war, economic hardship, and political change had already prompted large waves of German immigration to America, Russia, Southeastern Europe, the UK, and Ireland by people looking for land, freedom, and the chance to get ahead. The final piece of my ancestry is comprised of Persian, at 50%, which comes from the modern country of Iran. Traditionally known as the land of the Aryans, Iran's ancient inhabitants included people and cultures who were among the world's earliest farmers during the Holocene. By 5000 BC, they were fermenting wine and building mud brick houses. One known civilization on Iran's western borders was Elam, whose people built cities, had a written language, and learn from and warred with ancient civilizations such as Sumer, Ur, and Babylon. As 1000 BC drew nearer, nomads from Central Asia began moving south and westward onto the Iranian plateau, possibly driven by growing populations, overgrazing, or hostile neighbors. They included the Scythians, the Medes, and the Persians, and they brought their language and their horsemanship. The Persian king Cyrus II founded one of the greatest empires in the ancient world in 550 BC. At its height, it stretched from Egypt and Anatolia, which is modern-day Turkey, to northwestern India and included Medes, Manes, Persians, Parthians, Bactrians, and others. Alexander the Great brought the empire to an end in 330 BC, and he introduced many Greek influences and Greeks to Persia, even ordering 10,000 of his soldiers to marry Persian women, as he considered them of Aryan noble blood. Iran saw empires rise and fall over the next century, as the Parthians were replaced by the Sasanian Empire, which again spread Persia's power and borders from the Black Sea to modern-day Pakistan. Alongside Byzantium, it became one of the two great powers in the region. This was the last Iranian empire before the Muslim conquest, and the Sasanian rulers tried to purge Greek cultural influences. Zoroastrianism became the state religion, Persians started using windmills to run mills and pumps, art, architecture, and culture rose to new heights, and a sense of Iranian identity and national culture took shape. Arab forces from the west marched into Iran and defeated the Sasanian army in 641 and 642, though resistance continued till about 650 AD. Persia now became part of the Caliphate, which initiated one of the most powerful changes to Persian culture, the adoption of Shia Islam. Conversion to Islam occurred more rapidly in urban areas than among peasantry and villagers. It was the 9th century before most Iranians became Muslim. The Mongol invasion of 1220 to 1258 killed huge numbers of Iranians, destroyed irrigation systems, and left isolated cities. Persia rose as a regional power again under the Safavids, the first Iranian dynasty in almost 1,000 years, and Shia Islam became the state's official religion. Expanding and contracting empires spread Persian culture and people across the Middle East and into Central Asia, including the Lurs of Western Iran and the Tat of Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Dagestan. In 1935, Iran placed Persia as the country's official name. The 1979 Iranian Revolution led to waves of immigration, and it's estimated that between 2 and 5 million Iranians live in other countries, including Turkey, Canada, the United Arab Emirates, and the United States. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.